Ottawa, Ontario. That was a group called Ukrainia from their self-titled CD and a song about pierogies called Varenichke. Ітє кем живавим темпом розпочала нашу програму. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павіна Макворі. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Pavlina Demchuk-McQuarrie, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you. Sylvia Molnar will be along with a recipe for poppy seed cookies. Irina Bell from the Ukrainian radio program in Ottawa will be joining us today with one of her Did You Know features, and she'll be telling us all about the Trezub, that iconic symbol of Ukraine. And Keith Perron has the week off, but we will be hearing from author Marcia Skripik from Brantford, Ontario. It is an encore presentation, which we did the interview sometime last year. However, we do have some news. She has won an award for this book, so we thought we'd just refresh your memory, and if you haven't got it, you might want to consider picking up a copy or even borrowing it from the public library. It is The Last Airlift, a Vietnamese Orphan's Rescue from War. So stay tuned for that as well. We'll have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a group from New York City, and I guess they, along with many other Americans, about 300,000 of them, 300 million of them, pardon me, they'll be celebrating Memorial Day on Monday. So here's Harim now with a song called Розпрягайте хлопці коні, Unharness the Horses, Boys.
Розпрягайте хлопці коні та лягайте спочивай. А я піду в сад, зелений в сад, криничинку копать, Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнява, я дівчина в саду, я одервала, Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнява, я дівчина в саду, я одервала. Копав-копав криничинку у вишневому саду, чи не вийде дівчинонька рано вранці по воду, Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнява, я дівчина в саду, я одервала, Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнява, я дівчина в саду, я одервала. Thank you.
вийшла дів, жінонька рано вранці воду брать. А за нею козаченько веде коні набувать. Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнявая дівчина, саду ягоди рвала. Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнявая дівчина, саду ягоди рвала.
Вона ростом невеличка, ще й до того молода.
Руса коса до пояса, косі стрічка голуба. Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнявая дівчина, в саду ягоди рвала. Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнявая дівчина, в саду ягоди рвала.
Вийшла, вийшла, вийшла дівчинонька
рано вранці воду брать. А за нею козаченько веде коня набувать. Маруся, а за нею козаченько веде коня набувать. Маруся, гей!
Вона ростом, ростом невеличка,
ще й до того молода. Руса коса до пояса, косі стрічка голуба. Маруся, руса коса до пояса, косі стрічка голуба. Маруся, гей!
Розпрягайте,
розпрягайте, хлопці, коні,
та лягайте спочивать. А я піду в сад, зелений в сад, криничинку купать. Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнявая дівчина, в саду ягоди рвала. Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнявая дівчина, в саду ягоди рвала.
Маруся!
Калина чорнявая дівчина, в саду ягоди рвала. Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнявая дівчина, в саду ягоди рвала. Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнявая дівчина, в саду ягоди рвала. Маруся, раз, два, три, калина чорнявая дівчина, в саду ягоди рвала.
You can now hear programs from PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. It's free and just takes a few seconds. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on their Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's HART.ca.
Не ходи грицю, та й на вечорниці, бо на вечорниця дівки чарівниці, котра я дівчина, чорні брови махає, то та я дівчина, усі чари знає. Трая дівчина, чорні брови махає, то та я дівчина, усі чари знає. У неділю рано зілячко копала, а у Yeah. як прийшов четвер, бо вже хріць помер. Прийшла п'ятниця, поховали гріця, а в суботу рано мати дочку пила. Ой, на що ж ти, доню, гріця
Warning, don't go into the woods, Hritz, or you could be poisoned. That was Teresa Sukirka with a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Oy nekhode Hritzyu, and that is from her CD, Ukrainian Roots. Coming up next is a group from Winnipeg. They are called Molodtsi, which means young people, and this is from their second CD of traditional Ukrainian dance favorites, and it is called Voroshka, the Fortune Teller.
Ворожка ворожила, мені ворожка сказала, мені ворожка ворожила, щоб не любила хлопців я. Мені ворожка ворожила, щоб не любила хлопців я. Бо хлопець любить, та й покине, а ти дівчино будь сама. Бо хлопець любить, та й покине, а ти дівчино будь сама. Бо хлопець любить, та й покине, а ти дівчино будь сама.
поки не личко цілувати, поки не дівчину любити, та ще своєю називати, поки не дівчину любити, та ще своєю називати. Загублюся, нехай шукає він мене. Піду до моря, утоплюся, нехай не буде більш мене. Піду до моря, утоплюся, нехай не буде більш мене. Ворожка ворожила, мені ворожка сказала, мені ворожка ворожила, щоб не любила хлопців я. Мені ворожка ворожила, щоб не любила хлопців я.
And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. The sunflower has to be one of the most beautiful flowers in the world. It gives birds, squirrels, and humans tasty seeds full of nutrients. The seeds, wonderful to use in baked goods because it adds lots of nutrients. Sunflowers are really good in cookies too. The seeds can also be made into flour to bake with. It is sometimes used to replace a portion of the flour called for in some recipes with delicious results. Make sure the sunflower seeds are fresh. Here's a tip to remember. If the package contains many colored seeds or a large portion of dark seeds, pass them by. And by the way, it's very easy to grow your own. Just for a few pennies, you can have them all over your yard or on your deck or porch in planters. I've done it for years. Of course, in Ukraine, everybody grows sunflowers, and when traveling in the country, it's a spectacular sight to see fields as far as the eye can see with beautiful tall sunflowers against the blue sky. No wonder so many artists have painted sunflowers to honor their beauty. Now get your pens ready for sunflower cookies Ukrainian style. You'll need 1 cup butter, 3/4 cup packed brown sugar, 1 teaspoon soda, 1 2/3 cups flour, 2 tablespoons honey, 1 teaspoon vanilla, 2 cups rolled oats, and 1 cup of sunflower seeds, raw sunflower seeds. Cream butter, sugar, honey, and vanilla until light and fluffy. Mix the soda with the flour and add the oats and sunflower seeds. Roll into balls the size of a walnut, place on a greased cookie sheet, and flatten with a tines fork dipped in water. Bake in a 350-degree Fahrenheit oven for 12 to 15 minutes. This makes about 6 dozen. And next time you make bread or muffins, sprinkle with sunflower seeds for extra flavor and texture. And don't forget, surround yourselves with beautiful sunflowers. Until next time, try it. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Oh,
The Call of the Geese, Oi Helia Helia, by Sofia Bielozor from Winnipeg, and that is from her CD, Cherivni Melodii, Enchanting Melodies. Up next is Privit from Montreal. This is from their second CD called Zaklakanya, or Remember Me, and the song is Tam de Teabula, Where You Were.
Берег миє сунуться піски сивих узбереж, оцвіла зоря, загула завія, там, де ти була, там, де ти живеш, пани, я живу, вже тебе нема.
Там, де ти була, This is Irina Bell, producer and host of the Ukrainian Hour on Chin Radio in Ottawa, with a Did You Know Chiznalevi segment, and special greetings to the listeners of Nash Holos. Did you know that the trident symbol, as featured in the current Ukrainian coat of arms, is more than 1,000 years old? While signing a treaty with Byzantium, the ambassadors of the Kievan prince Ihor in the 10th century used the trident in their seals. The trident or trizub was stamped on the gold and silver coins issued in the 10th and 11th centuries by Prince Volodymyr the Great. During the Kievan Rus period, the trident or trizub was also found on the bricks of various churches, castles and palaces, and on ceramics, weapons, rings, medallions, seals and manuscripts. Almost 200 variations of the trizub from medieval times have been discovered in Ukraine. In December 1917, the trident was adopted as a symbol of the Free Ukrainian People's Republic. Officially discredited in Ukraine under the Soviets, the trident, nevertheless, remained the symbol of the National Liberation Movement. The Verkhovna Rada, or Ukrainian Parliament, on February 1992 approved the trizub, or trident, as the small state coat of arms. It appears on the presidential standard of Ukraine.
Дуже дякую, Ірино. Many thanks to Irina Bell of the Ukrainian radio program in Ottawa for sharing Chiznaleve, Did You Know, with Nash Holos listeners. You can catch her show Sundays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is, of course, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, streaming live at www.chinradioottawa.com. You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Лісом, лісом при долині, зозуленька кука тнені.
Гей-я, гой, лелія,
любовання то велика пасія.
Гей-я, гой, лелія, любовання то велика пасія. Пасія, пасія, пасія.
Ми зозулі не слухали,
любовали.
Гей-я, гой, лелія, любовання то велика пасія.
Пасія, гей-я, гой, лелія, любовання
то велика пасія.
Пасія.
And from Toronto, that was a group called Pete Oblachkom from a CD by the same name. And that song was Lisom in the Forest. Now, another Ontarian is no stranger to Nash Hollis. Her name is Marcia Skripik. She is an author of children's books and young adult books, and she's quite prolific. She's written several, many of them on a Ukrainian theme. One of them has recently won an award here in BC, the Red Cedar Award. Now, this is a reader's award, so kids get to choose the winners of these awards. And this one happened to be a book that she wrote called The Last Airlift, A Vietnamese Orphan's Rescue from War. Now, you may be asking, what is a story about a Vietnamese orphan doing on a Ukrainian radio program? Well, there is a Ukrainian connection. Not only, of course, is written by a Ukrainian-Canadian author, but the story was about somebody who is in Marcia's hometown, and there is more of a Ukrainian connection there. Last week, we spoke with Ukrainian-Canadian author Marcia Forchuk-Skripik about her children's novel, Making Bombs for Hitler, which is a companion novel to Stolen Child, which was released in 2010. Now, a very busy and in-demand writer, Marcia was almost at the same time writing another book called Last Airlift, A Vietnamese Orphan's Rescue from War. Marcia very kindly shared some details of that book as well for the benefit of listeners of Nash Hollis.
Now, your recent book, just before we started the interview, said you were working on a sequel or perhaps companion novel to your most recent book called Airlift.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit different. It's sort of got a Ukrainian connection, but it's not really necessarily a Ukrainian theme.
Well, that one is called Last Airlift, A Vietnamese Orphan's Rescue from War.
Mm-hmm.
And the orphan in question, her name is Tuyet, and she's now married to a Ukrainian, so her last name is Yushchishin.
Oh, wow.
But this is her story when she was 8 years old, and it takes place in 1975 when she was in the last rescue airlift, which is also known as Baby Lift, from Saigon. And she came to my hometown of Brantford, Ontario, and she actually went to the same school that my son went to, and her kids now go to that same school, and I used to live around the corner from her, but I didn't know her until I was trying to find the oldest orphan on that flight, and she just happened to be that one, and then
wow.
We had all personal connections like that. So the book that I'm writing after that, I guess it could be a sequel, but again, I'm writing it in a way that is a standalone as well, but it's chronologically the sequel to this book, because she came to Canada as an 8-year-old orphan who had suffered polio, so she had one leg that didn't work. Mm-hmm. And so the first story is about her rescue and how she didn't know that she was going to be adopted. She thought she was being brought over basically as a child servant. And so her whole understanding of what a family is and that she's like being loved for yourself, not for being able to perform tasks. And so that's what that first book was about. And also like, you know, just the shock and the scariness of being whisked away from the only home that you've known and flying to a different one. But this new book is about once she gets here, the very first thing that her adoptive parents have to do is arrange surgery on her leg because she's already 8 years old and there's only a limited amount of time that you can do any kind of recovery or anything so that she could walk, actually, right, with her leg. And so her biggest fear before was that she would be taken to the hospital and have her leg cut open. So she's here, and then within a couple of weeks of getting here, she has to confront her biggest fears and not speak the language.
Wow.
So it's about her first few months here and, the way that she is able to deal with it. And it took a tremendous amount of bravery on her part and also compassion on her parents' part to be able to get her what she needed, even though they didn't speak the same language. So I just finished writing the first draft of that on Friday. So I'm doing the revisions of it right now.
Wow. Is it a true story then, or is it a novel?
Yes, it is. It's my first nonfiction.
Oh, wow.
So it's called Narrative Nonfiction. Ah. So it reads like a novel, but mm-hmm. every single thing is true.
Wow.
And so it makes it in some ways harder, in some ways easier. Like you can't pull truths from this person and that person and create a character. The character is already living and walking. So
right.
everything that is in that has to be true to that character. But, you know, the thing is that this particular girl has blocked out a lot of her memories. And so what I had to do with both books is still interview other people about what happened and then write it from her point of view. And then so what I'm doing this week is I'm reading the entire thing to her, like sentence by sentence, as I sit in front of her with my laptop. Because I find that by doing that, after I've researched it other ways, then she can tell me what I've got wrong. But she can't remember it on her own.
Oh, really? Wow. Wow.
It's because, like, you know, it was a very traumatic time.
Yeah, 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 yeah. A lot of trauma. You've taken these really, really troubling times of you know, people suffering, and you've managed, in the words of one reviewer, to use take horrific topics in history, but depict them in a gentle and illuminating way.
Well, I mean, what they're living through is still horrific, but it's how it's the reaction of the people who are living through it that is illuminating. And basically, I think what I always try to do is to make the reader feel that they're that person.
Yeah, yeah.
And by doing that, then they have more sensitivity when they meet people like this. Just as an example to Yet, who I'm writing this book about now, I mean, in the 1970s, there were not a lot of visible minority immigrants in Canada. So you might see this little girl who's got a limp or is walking on crutches or whatever, and she looked, you know, people would think she was Chinese, right? They might not even necessarily know what Vietnamese meant, especially
mm-hmm.
a child.
Mm-hmm.
So they would look away and think again. They'd simply look away.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm doing is forcing the person not only to look right directly at her, but to feel like it would be to be that girl and to have all those challenges and to realize the sheer gut and will and strength of character that Tuyet had to get through what she had to do. You know, it's instead of looking at them from a distance and judging, you're stepping inside and walking in their shoes for a little bit. You know, in the one case, it's no shoes. In the other case, in Tuyet's shoes, it's one shoe and then
mm-hmm.
one foot, not mm-hmm. even touching the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you can do that, then it just makes people more tolerant of differences and also appreciative of what they have, but also, you know, really thankful that they were able to walk in someone else's shoes for a while, because then they understand that person a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very inspiring. All your books, one way or another, they are intertwined, and they are all uplifting and inspiring. And even though some of them are children's books, it's a lot easier to read a children's book. It's not juvenile by any means. The writing style is great. I didn't feel in the least that I'm reading, you know, something from like a kid's textbook or something from grade four.
Well, the readership for children's novels is probably about 50% adult in any case. Like, just because it's something as old as children's literature doesn't mean that that's the people who read it. You know, there's huge numbers of adults who read children's literature, and the reason is they know that quality is going to be there. And a lot of adult fiction, it's like, you know, you've got your literary fiction, and then you've got your commercial fiction. And a lot of the commercial fiction is written pretty much to throw away.
Yeah.
And so if someone wants to read something that is, they can read in a night or two, but is not throwaway literature, then they're much better off reading a children's book, because it will stick to them for the rest of their lives in many cases. But it's not going to take a huge time commitment. I prefer to read children's books myself for that reason, because like they're just so meaningful, but also short. And also, like adult fiction, a lot of times will have many intertwining stories, especially if you get something that's historical fiction, which is what I really like.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're reading a 1,000-page book, right? That's a lot of a commitment. And if you're traveling or something, that's a big thing to carry around.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're reading historical fiction that's geared towards children, you can read one and you can, like, set it aside and pick up another one. It's a different format, and hits you in a different part of the brain. I guess, like, you look at commercial fiction for adults more as candy, whereas, you know, this is meatier.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there was so much that I learned here. Certainly after reading your books, I consider myself, just from reading these rather than doing the amount of research that you did, that I know a lot more certainly than when I started out, and a lot more than people that haven't read those books.
The other thing, too, is that when you're writing for kids, you have to be really careful to make sure that every single paragraph is written so tightly. And it takes a lot more time to write short than it does long.
Yeah.
Like for adults, you know, you might get to page 75 and still not be engaged in the story.
Yeah.
So you can have 75 pages of beginning, right?
Yeah.
But with a kid's book, if you're not gripped by the very first sentence, you're not, they're put it down.
Yeah.
Like kids have incredibly honed twit filters.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is, like I said, a wonderful book, and I recommend to anybody listening to this interview, if you haven't read this book or any of Marcia's books, definitely do start now.
Now, in addition to winning the Red Cedar Award from BC for the last airlift of Vietnamese orphans rescued from war, Marcia has also won the Silver Birch Award for making bombs for Hitler, which we mentioned earlier and we had talked about previously as well. And you can find out all about this. She has a blog and a website. It is www.calla.com, like the calla lily. So you can see pictures and get details. She's been out and about with the kids celebrating these wonderful awards for this great work she's been doing at www.calla.com. And you can also find links on the Nash Holos website to many of her previous interviews we've done here on Nash Holos about her other Ukrainian-themed books. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio on the PCJ Radio Network Saturdays in your part of the world on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. And remember, you can catch the show on your smartphone via the Stitcher app. As well, Nash Holos airs Sundays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time in Vancouver on AM 1320 CHMB and in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island Wednesdays at 12 noon on Radio Malaspina 101.7 FM. If you're a time shifter, you can get the podcast on the Nash Holos page at www.pcjmedia.com and on iTunes as well. You can find us online at www.nashholos.com. І на жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Як багатства і багача ти не любив і не любиш, то ніколи ним не будеш. And our proverb of the week translates as, if you hate rich people, you will never become one yourself. Well, that just about wraps it up. So to take us to the end of our program, we've got the Canadian Rhythm Masters with a nod to our American neighbors to the south celebrating Memorial Day, the Liberty Two-Step. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time, do pobaczenia.